Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, Tuesday, a time to celebrate. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We got a lead today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Dak Prescott has a big, juicy new contract. I think it's worth discussing.
Well, we've talked about the speculation of it for 2 years. I don't know what the feeling of relief. Happy for him and then for us. And like, I no longer have to talk about what Dak Prescott's going to make, at least for a while.
It's almost like a couple dates forever. And it's like, would you just give her a ring and set a wedding date?
Yes, that is what it felt like. It's like, you know what? Good for him. Finally, he asked.
It's like we can stop talking about when they're going to get married. They got married.
That is a perfect analogy for
So let's start. You know, I like to think of myself as Mr. Optimism at the network. So I want to start being positive on the Dak Prescott deal. Number one, the Cowboys are uniquely wealthy. Attendance, best in the NFL, franchise worth almost $6 billion. They are able to, because of their game day revenues, because of their enormous brand appeal, to write massive guaranteed money checks that a third of the league can't write. Hell, it may be half. And because they can do that, and it's such a healthy brand, they gave Dak a boatload of guaranteed money, and that brought his cap down to only $22 million first year, meaning Dallas gets, in the first of these 4 years, a little bit of a cap break. That's good news. That means they can spend it on defense, and they should spend every penny of it on defense. The other good news is they've got two or three good draft picks. If they spend that $15 million on defense, and they draft with their first two or three picks defense, with the addition of Dan Quinn, who I think is going to elevate their scheme defensively, Dallas isn't going to have to win every game 37-34. I think their defense is going to be better. I think they save in year one a little bit of cap space they can spend on defense. Here's more positives. Dak's a grown-up. Dak's responsible. He's not going to, you know, go crazy town. He's a grown-up. He's an adult. This money's not going to do it. You're not going to see him on 4,000 commercials. Dak's a head down, play hard, let's kick butt guy. Also, the story's over. Dak feels good. Cowboys have to feel somewhat good. And we don't have to talk about it anymore. Here's more positives. Dak's in the second year with Mike McCarthy, and he gets a preseason. Generally, year two of an offense, you're better. Here's another positive spin. The best part of Dallas, the very strongest unit's wide receiver. They're good at wide receiver. That complements Dak, and the NFL's becoming more passing-centric. All positives from Mr. Optimism at Fox Sports, Colin Cowherd. Now let's pivot into some realistic concerns. I saw this headline this morning. Dak Prescott becomes highest paid player in league history. That is not a recipe for Super Bowls. We have a recipe for Super Bowls. Young quarterbacks on rookie deals and great quarterbacks on team-friendly deals. Good quarterbacks making great money does not win Super Bowls. Tom Brady's already restructuring his deal again. Now people say, well, the cap's going up. Folks, the cap goes up. Last 25 years, it's gone up 24 times. I talked to two general managers this morning. There'll be no time over the next 4 years. It'll go up, but it's called escalators. When networks sign these big deals and you see in the blogs and the media critics, Fox goes from paying $1 billion a year to $2 billion a year. That's not what we pay for the next 2 or 3 years. They're called escalators. We go from paying one to 1.3 to 1.5 to 1.7. But the time the cap really explodes, this contract's over. Dak's working on the next contract. So yeah, it's going up. But it doesn't jump up overnight. And I have this theory, is that don't compare good and great. Like, I never have had a vacation in my life that I, it was a great vacation. I went to Hawaii. I took the kids. We did helicopter tours. We did scuba dive. It was a lot of money. Oh, it was a lot. But when I flew back, I was like, worth every penny. Worth. I paid my daughter to go to in Connecticut to go to a junior high private school. I'm not going to tell you what I paid, but it was a great school. I've never once regretted paying great for great. House, education, experience, ski trip, never once. Paying great for good, I almost always regret it. Dak's good. Mahomes is great. I would never have a problem paying Rodgers, Russell, Mahomes, great money. Because great is a different galaxy than good. There's never going to be a time in our lifetime, even if the economy goes up, 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 that paying $10 million for a good house is a steal. Dak's contract is never in the next 4 years going to feel like, whoo, we stole him. Man, this is team friendly. The Cowboys right now have seven players who are good, and they pay them great. That's not good. You also have a coach who's a GM who's 78, he's your owner. I don't love it. I can be happy for the guy and not think it helps him to win playoff games. Maybe that's not the biggest thing for him, but Dak always feels like a winner to me. He's like Lamar Jackson. He's visibly angry when he walks off the field with an L. Some guys are into the money. Dak makes good money. I've never felt he's a money guy. And I don't begrudge anybody who wants to make theirs. But Dallas has one playoff win when they were paying Dak $600,000. A year from now, they're paying him $39.5 million. That is hard. I don't care how much the cap goes up, but it's not going to go up that much. It is hard to win. We have a resume and a recipe. Rookie contracts for quarterbacks and great guys taking pay cuts. So I gave you positive Uncle Colin, and now I give you realistic Uncle Colin. Dallas now has five players paid in the top five in their position. I don't think any of them are in the top five as talent. I don't love it. All right, now let's focus on Jerry Jones. So we talked about Dak. Let's focus on Jerry Jones. And I saw this last night. This was one of the things I kind of, you know, when this stuff happens, I kind of like to just kind of, you know, fish around the interweb and see what people are thinking. I got a lot of this. Oh, Jerry, very cunning. He has insight to these new TV deals. And he knows that this is just going to be no problem. Well, Jerry's owned the team for 32 years. He's had insight to TV deals the whole time. In 32 years, the Cowboys have been great once when Jimmy Johnson called the shots for football. They have never been great since. This idea that Jerry Jones suddenly has this keen insight to the new TV deals. Well, he had keen insight to the last TV deals. Jerry's one of the most powerful guys in American sports. Did it help him? Did it create a deep, efficient, talented roster with no holes? We got to slow down. I got nothing against Jerry. But Jerry's a deal maker. He's a deal maker. He loves the rush of the deal. I get it. I mean, anytime you make a big purchase or I've signed a deal, you get that 48-hour rush. And by the way, I don't think it's coincidental. Nothing happening in sports. NBA All-Star game for 2 days, and Jerry owns it. Jerry loves the big deal. Don't think he does? When he signed Amari Cooper, at that moment, he was the highest-paid wide receiver ever. When he signed Zeke, he was the highest-paid running back ever. When he signed DeMarcus Lawrence, he was the highest-paid defensive lineman ever. When he signed Zach Martin, he was the highest paid guard ever. When he signed Tyron Smith, he was the highest paid offensive tackle ever. Jerry loves basking in that. It's a flex for a billionaire for a couple days. But since the last time they won a Super Bowl, Dallas has just four playoff wins. That ranks 13th in the NFC. Okay. So some of that we concentrated yesterday on Dak. But this deal was also signed by Jerry. And this is like the sixth player who was signed by Jerry who became the highest paid player at his position. Let me ask you today, you love any of those contracts? Jalen Smith, Zach Martin, I can kind of live with, but do you like any of them? This franchise has been great once briefly. Jimmy Johnson called all the football shots. Last night, Stephen Jones, I'm told, son of Jerry, made multiple calls to Dallas media to sell this new contract. Dak crushed and rolled Jerry. He got everything. He got the money. He got the no franchise tag. He got the trade clause. Hell, might as well have signed it 2 years ago. It'd be one thing if the contract came out and it was like, well, Dak got some money, but a lot of it is based on incentives. Well, he got some guaranteed money, but he had to sign for a fifth year. Well, they can franchise. Dak got everything. Dak got everything. You couldn't have signed that a year ago? 2 years ago? You know what it felt like to me? Jerry just wanted to make a big deal and wanted to own American television. Yes and yes. But if you're going to give Dak everything, you should just sign him years ago. Well, what are we sitting around for? Okay. Coming up next, I'm going to do just maybe 8 more Dak segments. Okay, maybe I'll cut it back to 7. Jimmy Johnson later. It is interesting. Fans of Dak, I'm going to hold you a little accountable next. Because I like Dak. I think Joy likes him more than I do. But, I mean, he's a franchise quarterback. But Dak fans can be a little bit of a hypocrite. And I want to hold them a little accountable next. As Mr. Positivity at Fox Sports.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you get when you cross a Mercedes with a race car? You get chills, you get goosebumps. No other way to say it. OMG AMG. Visit MercedesBenzUSA.com/AMZ. AMG, Mercedes AMG driving performance. So whether you like Dak or not, and he is a franchise quarterback, Dak fans tend to move the goalpost a little bit. And you got to be honest about this. If you love this contract, then you love Dak. You got to be honest and own this. So Dak, last 2 years, is 1-8 against playoff teams. In his last 60 starts, he's 32-28. So the first few years, when Dak was winning, the Cowboys were winning, but he wasn't leading the team, I was lectured. Hey, it's about winning. It's not about stats. Dak's a winner. All right, I can buy that. And now that he's not beating good teams, hey, look how productive he is. Well, which one do you want? At $40 million a year, I want both. I want you to be super productive because that means my wide receivers, my running back, we can win shootouts. You keep moving the goalpost. There's this dueling narrative. Dak is now more efficient. He's more productive. Okay, where are the wins? I'm asking, which one do you think is important? Because when he won early, but it was Zeke's team, you kept telling me he's a winner. That's what matters. All right. And now he's not winning, but his stats are better. And you're telling me that matters. In his last 17 starts, he's 6-11. Well, it's not his fault. Well, then he can't get all the credit for the wins. Dak's also 28. I don't think he's an ascending player. I think this is what he is. He's a good quarterback. Matt Ryan's not an ascending player. Jared Goff's not an ascending player. Like, after 4 or 5 years in the league, Kyler Murray, I don't even know what his ceiling is. I mean, he could play Justin Herbert, Joey Burrow. I have no idea what their ceiling is. Baker Mayfield, he's not an ascending player. This is kind of what he is. So I guess my point is, you got to tell me what matters. Okay? To me, at $40 million, I'd like both. I want you to be productive, meaning I can win shootouts. You're making my receivers happy. You're taking advantage of the offensive line, giving you time. We can have a bad Sunday on defense, and you're productive as hell, and you can light it up. That's Mahomes. But I also, at $40 million, want wins over playoff teams. And I just don't see them last 2 years. As the team has become more Dak-led, they win less against good teams. So you can like Dak, but there's a little hypocrisy on the, you just tell me which one matters. Because, listen, I've said this before. The only numbers that matter on Michael Jordan are six. That's the only stat I know about Michael. Six. Six finals, six wins, six MVPs. I couldn't tell you one Tom Brady stat, one Joe Montana stat. Not one. I couldn't tell you one Russell Wilson stat. I can just tell you the Super Bowls. So to me, it's a winning thing. And I think the first argument you had with Dak is he's a winner. I started acknowledging, yeah, he is. There's certain leadership intangibles. He played well late in games as a young player. I was like, I kind of buy it. But then when he doesn't win, it's like, look at the stats. Well, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins' stats are unbelievable. I don't mean anything to me. He shrinks in prime time. So just if you're a Dak fan, you got to at least own that space a little. Joy of the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, we're going to get a lot of contract news and movement around the NFL and some news out of Tampa Bay. The Bucs have reportedly placed a franchise tag on wide receiver Chris Godwin. He's projected to earn a salary of $16.43 million on the tag for the 2021 season. This leaves Tampa with several other players who are now scheduled to be free agents. So they've reportedly discussed deals with linebackers Shaq Barrett and Lavonte David. They also have Ndamukong Suh, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, and Ryan Succop, their kicker, to figure out.
Well, I mean, they're going to keep Tom happy. Godwin's a good young player. He's a wide receiver. He's a weapon. Listen, they can't sign all their guys. This is the way it goes. You can't. I like all of them. I think pass rushers are more valuable. I would probably work in a deal to sign Shaq Barrett.
I think the defense has to be your priority. I mean, for all the talk about everything that Tom Brady accomplished this year and nothing should be taken away from that, that Super Bowl was really about the defense. I mean, it's not as exhilarating to talk about, but that's what happens. The Kansas City Chiefs did not score a touchdown. There's a reason for that.
Well, and Tampa also drafts late in rounds. If you look, Joy, the best players in this draft in the top 15 are mostly offensive players. So where Tampa's going to be drafting, if you had to lose a defensive player, that late pick's going to get, there's a pass rusher and there's some interior guys and pass rushers. Tampa's probably, I would guess, going to draft defense. I just don't think you can pay for everybody.
Well, you can't. I mean, Brady's going to likely restructure his deal, and they can still work out a long-term deal with Chris Godwin. So this isn't, you know, set in stone. Just for if they don't work out a long-term deal, that's what he's going to be guaranteed this year. But everyone's not going to come back this year. Like, there's a salary cap, and you can't make it work.
That's right.
Like, people are going to leave. That's what happens with teams every single year. But they just have a lot of guys to figure out. I personally would prioritize the defense. So Russell Wilson trade rumors are swirling, and tension between the Seahawks organization and him is very public. And one person that would be very happy to see Russell Wilson leave the NFC West is Rams defensive lineman Michael Brockers. He said, "You cross your fingers a little bit. You hope whatever you hear is true and he's out of here so you don't have to chase him around twice a year. He's a phenomenal player, but if he chooses to leave and leave the division and make it a little bit easy for us, to each his own."
Yeah, I completely agree. If I was a defensive lineman, I'd be rooting like crazy. Ends up with the Raiders. No question.
I have to imagine that anyone in that division hears this news and just rolls their eyes. Like, what are you talking about? talking about? Like, please. Actually, it's a great idea. Let me leak a couple extra stories that I heard to my sources to kind of push this along and add some extra drama to it if I can.
Well, if Aaron Donald tomorrow was traded, every offensive lineman in the NFC West would celebrate. I mean, there are certain players you don't lose any sleep leaving your division.
You have to win your division first. And this is a very, very tough division.
Brutal.
So, yes, this would be great for any other team and any defensive player in that division if Russell Wilson leaves. And that is a story that the Seahawks should pay attention to. When your division opponents
great point.
Are excited about the idea that you're going to make this kind of a catastrophic mistake, you probably want to take your foot off the gas on the, we don't like all the drama that's happened since the season ended, and we're taking calls on Russell Wilson.
If Nick Saban retired tomorrow, there will be a party in Baton Rouge in Athens, Georgia. Your rivals will tell you what they think of your players and your coach.
That part. Andre Drummond hasn't played in almost a month. The Cavs have been looking for a trade partner. They haven't found any takers on their deals yet, so he might be inching closer to getting with a team. The Lakers are reportedly interested in signing him in an effort to boost their front court depth. He has a very expensive contract that they've been having some trouble moving. He has a $28 million salary that they're trying
are
to
they
rid of.
Doing
trying
this,
to work a buyout.
Are they doing this because of Anthony Davis?
The Lakers, yes.
They need a rim protector.
Yes, they want to add some size. He's a good defender as well when he's locked in. So, yeah, I mean, look, you can't trust Anthony Davis. I thought it was kind of a stretch to think that this was the passing of the torch. I mean, LeBron hasn't fallen often at all, right. Let alone enough to, you know, be transferring power of the NBA over to Anthony Davis. I just don't think Anthony Davis is that guy. And he's been in the league long enough that we know what he is.
There's a book on him.
Yes.
He's good.
And that's not a knock. Everybody has their own identity and
that's right.
their own journey. Like, it's kind of difficult to hold people to standards of Tom Brady and LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Like, these are extreme outliers. And we put everybody in the category that they need to be on that level. And that's just, some people's personalities just don't fit that. But I think also, it's very obvious at this point, I think it's safe to say that Anthony Davis is pretty injury prone.
Yes.
So you can't rely on him in these spots. You want to have some depth and some size. So they're third in the West. It's not like they're slipping out of the playoffs right. or anything, but they do have to manage LeBron James's time. He didn't play much in the All-Star game, and he's a little, you know, banged up right now as well. You want to be healthy going into the playoffs, but they have to make the salary work.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Do you know the first fullback ever selected to the Pro Bowl? Moose Johnson. He's got 3 rings, Fox Sports NFL analyst, former Cowboy, great, joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right. Big day, a lot of celebrating in Dallas, a lot of happy times. So it's interesting. So you know how it works in life. You get the big money, expectations grow. That in any industry, in our industry, you get the big money, the expectations grow. So we got a 4-year contract for Dak. What are the expectations this morning, Moose, in Dallas? What if at the end of 4 years, what will he have to do? And we say, you know what? It is worth the dough.
I think he has to win a Super Bowl. I really don't think there's any other alternative. And I think one of the reasons that this contract got done is, you know, it's been so long since the Cowboys have competed for a Super Bowl championship. So, This is the piece that had to be there as part of the team. It's been an interesting offseason at the quarterback position. And I think that every Dallas Cowboy fan is grateful that Dak Prescott did not become part of a carousel during the course of the offseason.
Why did it take so long? I looked at the deal yesterday, and Dak really got whatever he wanted. He didn't have – you can't franchise tag him. He didn't have to sign a fifth year. I'm happy for him. I thought his agent did great. But gosh, if you're going to win the deal everywhere, why did it take so long, do you believe?
Well, I just think the timing, when you looked at the 3 guys that they wanted to bring back, and this was something that the organization talked about from the very beginning, when all these negotiations started a couple of years ago, that they wanted Amari, they wanted Ezekiel, and they wanted Dak all together. Really what happened there is this, the order got out of whack, you know, right out of the gate. When you signed Ezekiel Elliott first to a contract that that many people thought was maybe a little bit too lucrative for a running back at that time, you really put yourself behind the eight ball a little bit. So I think in hindsight, if you could go back in time and do this all over again, Dak Prescott would be the first person you do. And that saves you a little bit of money because the Mahomes contract is not out there at that time. But I do know that the big thing, and this is very smart on Dak's side and his agent's side, is really kind of hanging in there and fighting for that 4 year period of time, because this is going to give him another opportunity to come back at 31 and do another contract. And you don't often get to see, you know, players in the NFL get two big contracts, you know, that quickly the first part of their career.
So listen, Zeke, Amari, Zach Martin, Dak, a lot of money on the offensive side. As soon as this deal was signed and I said, okay, they get $15 million break on the cap this year, my gut feeling was they got to draft defense and they got to spend that $15 million on defense. I think Dan Quinn's going to make them better defensively. But when Dak gets that money, and if you ran the Cowboys, would you now really, for the next two drafts, go heavy into defensive personnel?
Yeah, you might follow the Carolina Panthers last year where they went all defense with their draft picks. You need an edge rusher to complement Marcus Lawrence. You need somebody on the back end. There's a few key positions that you have to address. And I think we all saw last season when that defense was really struggling early on. We did the Atlanta game and we did the Cleveland game. And both of those offenses were going up and down the field. Atlanta was doing it through the air and Cleveland was doing it on the ground.
Yep.
And the defense could not stop them. The only reason that they were in those games was because of the play of Dak Prescott. The offensive line has to be healthy. I would not be surprised if Dallas does go onto the offensive side to address something in the draft, that it's a little bit of depth in the offensive line. That would be the one area that I think that they would need to address, because once that offensive line started to break down, that was really the first brick that kind of collapsed that foundation last year, were the injuries in the offensive line and then obviously the injury to Dak Prescott. But early on, while that defense was struggling, mightily to try and find its way, Dak Prescott was the one guy that was able to keep Dallas in those games. So offensively, you've got to feel good about it. And I agree with you, Colin. I really do think that Dan Quinn was a tremendous addition, to the Dallas Cowboys, not just from scheme and everything like that, but the culture, the way that Dan Quinn coaches and creates that energy on the defensive side of the ball. I think you're going to see a completely different side defensively from the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the easy one. Defense is going to be better. That's the easy one. They're going to spend some money on defense, and Dan Quinn may not have worked as a head coach long term, but very few guys do. The guy was a great coordinator. So it's funny about the division. So this morning, if I had to guess the division, I think Philadelphia is in a little chaos. I put them fourth. I do think Gettleman had a good last draft. Barkley's back. I'd probably put New York third, but a puncher's chance third. And then I look at Dallas, Dak healthy again, second year under Mike McCarthy, and Washington. But it's interesting. Washington rolled them twice last year. Washington's got the better defense. Washington's got a very capable coach. And Alex Smith, Moose, went 5-1, and he wasn't healthy. So this morning, do you feel like Dallas with Dak is the best team in the division, or do you believe Washington really now has the momentum and the personnel?
Dallas is the most talented team in the division, but they may not be the best team in the division. And this was something that we saw early on last year. We had a lot of the NFC East teams, through the first 7 or 8 weeks. And one of the things we noticed right away, because we had Washington multiple times early on and then had them again later in the year, and you could see the buy-in from the team and what Ron Rivera was building there.
Yep.
And it happened very quickly. And so Washington, right away, at about week six, that's when he made that decision. He made the change at quarterback because he saw the rest of the division lagging behind. And he said, hey, I got an opportunity here where I can compete for the NFC East. It was a very aggressive move by him. And I think that sent a message to the team. And they just continued to build off that week after week. So I think Dallas obviously is the most talented, especially when you look at him at the offensive side of the ball. But Washington, they were just unique. They were tight. They were focused. Everybody was chasing that same goal. It was a very different vibe when you were around the Washington football team last season than when you were around the Dallas Cowboy football team last season. And if Dallas can't generate that this year in the offseason, you know, with the addition of Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy in his second year, you know, that's going to be the most important thing. They've got to be able to tap into what Ron Rivera tapped into with his group. You know, he and Jack Del Rio did an outstanding job getting that team ready.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point. Dallas was a little kind of circling the drain early. And to your point, you could see they really bought in right before Thanksgiving, and they changed their fortunes. They were a hot team. I mean, frankly, Taylor Heinicke gave Tampa Bay a game. They were a good football team at the end. So let me ask you this. The Dak injury, that injury looks so punitive and so painful. What do we know about Dak returning? Is he ready to go? You tell me what the word is on Dallas on the health part of Dak, because I'd just be guessing.
Yeah, I think he's on schedule. You know, maybe a little bump there with the second surgery. But I think, listen, the training staff for the Dallas Cowboys won the Trainer of the Year award from the Ed Block Club. That's a very prestigious honor. Those are the same guys that were there when I was there. They're outstanding. The medical staff in Dallas is outstanding. You know, everything that happens when you have an injury in Dallas, you're going to get the best possible chance to get back on the field and be as good or most times better than you were prior to that injury. So for me, you know, looking at this injury, as gruesome as it was, you know, I never thought that it was going to be anything that was career threatening.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be back on the field. He's going to be 100%. He's got a lot of people to prove right, to believe in him. And what he can do. So I expect to see Dak Prescott come onto the field this season and be better than he was even in the early parts last year prior to that injury.
Super Bowl rings, three of them, multiple Pro Bowls. Daryl Moose Johnson, Fox Sports. Great seeing you. Thanks for jumping on this morning. We appreciate it.
Always good visiting with you, Colin.
All right, good stuff. Dak Prescott's new deal. By the way, I can think two things simultaneously. As small as my brain is, it is possible. And sometimes social media doesn't allow that. I thought two different things for Dak last night when he signed the contract. Jimmy Johnson's on today, too. Jane Slater stops by.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it is interesting. Like, as a fan, if players got rich or not, I never cared. You know, I'm never going to meet a player. So I never cared. If guys get rich, fine. I don't care. For me, what I always want my team to have is flexibility. The Patrick Mahomes deal gives Kansas City all sorts of flexibility. They don't pay him huge money until about 5 years from now. And that's the moment the cap's going to double from what it is now, because the gambling money and the new contract money comes in. So Dak's contract, 75% of it, year 2, 3, and 4, the cap's not going to go up that much. He's $40 million is going to be a lot of money for a quarterback, but it's interesting. I can think, Twitter doesn't allow this, but you can have a brain big enough to think two things at once. My first thought was yesterday, good for Dak. My second thought was, it's going to make him harder to win Super Bowls, because we have sort of a recipe for it. The reason Baker Mayfield's got such great weapons around him, they don't pay him anything yet. The reason Lamar Jackson, good God, that roster's loaded. I mean, if you look around the NFL, I mean, Buffalo can pay Stephon Diggs. They're not paying Josh Allen anything. Patrick Mahomes next couple of years. That's why that roster is stacked. Tom Brady, look at that roster. He's taking a pay cut. Whereas Green Bay can never quite find the money because Aaron takes the full boat. And listen, Dak, good deal. Cowboys, not that great of a deal. What Dallas is now banking on has never been a strength. What Dallas needs to happen over the next 3 years is crush the draft and get a bunch of third, fourth, fifth, sixth round guys that can really play. If you look at Dallas's history, the data points to they're very good with their first and second draft. They don't find many gems after that. In the last decade, they found one gem, Dak. That's it. There's teams like Seattle that have lived off that. Kansas City, the Colts, the Saints. They have just mopped up third, fourth, fifth. That's not Dallas's thing. Dallas tends to do very well on their first couple picks, which, by the way, most teams do. But they don't have a history of finding gems. Dak's the last gem. So, you know, these contracts, I, as a fan, when I was, you know, now I'm more reporter and opinion guy, and I try to play it straight. But when I was a fan, I just wanted my team to be flexible. If a guy gets rich, I'm never going to meet him. He's never going to invite me to his house. I'm never going to drive in a car with him. He's never going to invite me on his vacation. I don't care if a guy gets rich. If he does, good. If he doesn't, fine. But I want flexibility. I don't think Cowboys have much flexibility. I think Mahomes' 12-year deal is much more malleable. You can they'll rework that thing multiple times. And you also have to be careful about, the cap is going up. It's not the way it works. I'll just give you an example without getting too boring and complicated. If we pay $1 billion at Fox for the NFL and we sign an 8 to 9, 10-year deal where the average salary is $2.2 billion, we don't pay $2.2 billion for a long time. It's called escalators. We'll pay $1.3 billion next year, then $1.5, then $1.7, then what? By the time Dak's contract is done, that's when the big money pours in and the gambling money pours in. So, you know, the Cowboys are going to have to lean in on something they've not been great at, which is crushing the draft's third, fourth, and fifth and sixth rounds. That's not what they do. You know, the other thing is, and we just talked about this with Moose Johnson, is, you know, there is this feeling Dak is the best quarterback in the division. And this morning, I would agree with you. Daniel Jones, to me, I got to see about, let him play till Thanksgiving, and then I'll make the call. Jalen Hurts, give him the year, I'll make the call. Dak, I know what I'm getting, is the best quarterback. But Joy and I were talking about this morning. Washington, according to reports from Albert Breer, has been on every quarterback call. They were in on Matt Stafford. They're in on Deshaun Watson. They're in on Darnold. Washington is the most active team in terms of pursuing a quarterback, which means they're probably made calls on Garoppolo and Teddy Bridgewater. Let me ask you this. If Washington, with what I perceive as a better head coach, a significantly better defense, more franchise momentum, if they signed Deshaun Watson in a week, would you feel as good about the Dak Prescott contract? Then you wouldn't. So what's interesting this morning is I think Philadelphia is going to finish fourth. New York's going to have a puncher's chance at third. They're going to be a tough out. I think it's a Dallas-Washington division. I am fascinated by what Washington does at quarterback. Don't forget this. Alex Smith went 5-1 and wasn't healthy. Taylor Heinicke gave Tampa, that was a real game. I mean, Tampa rolled the Chiefs. They didn't roll Washington. So you're looking at a team, if I was just talking to a general manager this morning about this division, and he said, listen, if they get a quarterback that's competent and they shore up their secondary a little, he's like, you don't want any part of Washington. He goes, they got to get their secondary right. And he goes, that defensive front, that front seven is loaded, and their offensive line's underrated, and their skill people are underrated. So, you know, with these, I was just looking this morning at the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, and it's interesting when you start looking at them, where does, and I'll do this at the top of the hour, Mahomes, Dak, Deshaun, Russell, Aaron, Jared Goff, Cousins, Wentz, Ryan Tannehill. That's the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. But in terms of talent, where would you rank them? Because what you're trying to do in all these leagues, this is the way it works in all these leagues. I always say, pay big money very infrequently. But when you do pay great money, pay your great player. You just pay LeBron whatever it costs. You pay Steph whatever it costs. You know, in Milwaukee, you got to pay Giannis market, whatever it costs. Dallas has a recent history of paying everybody great money. Everybody sets a market record. None of those deals today in Dallas, none of them look like good deals. Now, I will say this. Dak, because he controls what's becoming a more offensive-driven league, Dak's deal, I think, in 4 years, it's not like I think you're going to just be like, God, I regret that thing. It's horrible. He's going to be productive. Let's be honest about Dak. He's productive. He's not winning a lot of games right now, but he's productive. But if you look at Dallas's history and the history of this league is Dallas's last six or seven big deals, there's not a single one, not a single one I like. I liked Amari Cooper for about a year. But then when they went and got CeeDee Lamb, in fact, I can make the argument that CeeDee Lamb is the only player on the Cowboys roster they're getting value, where he's way better than his contract. That's not even negotiable. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is better than what he's getting paid now. I can make an argument everybody else on that roster is getting paid what they should or more than they should. I mean, you go look at Tampa, the Super Bowl team. They're getting a discount on Brady. They're not paying Gronk anything. They're not paying AB anything. I mean, frankly, they're not paying Shaq Barrett much. They didn't pay Ndamukong Suh much. I mean, they're getting discount. Tampa's getting discounts everywhere. I mean, everywhere. Dallas is getting discounts nowhere except CeeDee Lamb. So they better nail the draft for the next 2 years. They got to find some very, very gifted young players, second, third, fourth, fifth round, because they got to even this thing out. Take out CeeDee Lamb. Where are they getting value? I don't see it. I don't anywhere in their roster. And that's how you end up in conference championships and Super Bowls. Okay, hour two, Jane Slater, Jimmy Johnson, one down, two to go. It's the Herd.